When you think about the events in Jerusalem that Friday, you know, the disciples, when they saw Jesus suspended between heaven and earth on that cross, that was the end game for the apostles. That was devastating news when they saw their dreams, their hopes, nailed to a cross. You see, their hopes and dreams were shattered by that cross that day, that Friday afternoon. Because Jesus was the one they thought would be the Messiah, the one that would restore Israel, you know, the kingdom to Israel. Remember, at this time, the Romans were in charge, so the Jewish people had that hope. In fact, even to this day, they have the hope that one day, Jerusalem and Palestine, all that will be theirs when the Messiah will come. It's obvious that people did not quite understand Jesus because they were hoping for a political king, and Jesus did not meet their criteria. You see, they did not know what to think about the events that Friday. Remember, Jesus had predicted that they would strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter, and that's exactly what happened. You wonder, where are the disciples? Where are his closest friends? Jesus was tried, condemned by himself, you know, all alone, because the apostles were hiding. And you see, it's interesting because Jesus rising from the dead was not in their minds. And it boggles my mind because to think about that, it's like Jesus told them that they're going to do this to me on the third day, I will rise from the dead. And they missed it. They did not pay attention apparently because Jesus spoke plainly about what would happen in Jerusalem. And the resurrection was part of that. He says, the chief priests are going to do that to me, but on the third day, I'll rise from the dead. You know, after Jesus was dead on Friday, the disciples, they went undercover. They were hiding with their doors closed because they were afraid of the Jews, the Bible says. But it's interesting that on the first day of the week, when Jesus resurrected, you know, the disciples got up that day. It was supposed to be a normal day, another day without Jesus. You know, Jesus being taken away from them from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday comes, and the first day of the week comes, and the disciples get up, and it's like another day without Jesus. Because they did not expect that he would rise from the dead. You see, early in the morning, women have gone to the tomb, and they discovered that the tomb was empty. They went back to the apostles and said, we could not find Jesus, and we had this vision of angels that he's alive. Peter and John, they went to the tomb, checked it out, just like the women said, and Jesus is no longer at the tomb. And they still could not understand that he's alive. And I want to pick it up on that account on Luke, like I said, Luke 24. The account of two disciples that you know they were around with Jesus, but you never heard about their name, about their names until now. There's one of them named Cleopas. And so they have their own testimony. So when you look at what happened with them, what happened to them, you learn so much. That, you know, like I said, I don't want to give you the account of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to see what they thought about the whole thing, the whole Friday crucifixion, and what they were around when the women came and reported that Jesus was missing from the grave. But let's hear about their testimony. I always, when I read the Bible, I always think about certain people that you wish that they could have written a book, so you also get a different perspective on the events. And so here's their perspective. There were two men, two disciples, walking from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus, which is 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem, if you were to look up at a map. So they're walking on the same day that Jesus resurrected. This is now, you know, in the afternoon. So they're going from Jerusalem, northwest, 7 miles. That's like from here to the ferry, by the way. They're walking, they're going to Jerusalem. To Emmaus from Jerusalem. And so, if you got your Bibles with you, let's just read that account, see what happened. Because Jesus appeared to these two disciples. Luke 24, verse 13 and following. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" and they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Interesting. Let's leave it there for now. The very same day, what day was it? Check out verse 1 of that chapter 24. It says, on the first day of the week. So we know, and so now verse 13 says, on the same day. So the very, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb. This is late on in the afternoon. And so on the very same day, two of the disciples were walking to a village called Emmaus. And then Jesus appeared to them, but for whatever reason, they were kept from recognizing Jesus. Like I said, 7 miles away, 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And they were discussing the events. Whatever, I mean, imagine what's going on. Like, you already believed that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, and it's been 3 days without Jesus now. You know, we've been hanging out with him for 3 years, and he's gone. And imagine, they probably think he's never going to come back, because they did not believe the resurrection. They did not expect it to happen. So Jesus appeared to them. And then Jesus asked the question, "Wait, what are you fellows talking about? What are you guys talking about?" And then one of them, Cleopas, says, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know what happened?" You know, what is he saying by that? He's saying that anybody that would have been in Jerusalem that weekend would have known what took place in Jerusalem by Friday, the events on Friday. You know, so only a visitor to Jerusalem would not know what happened. So it gives you evidence, again, that Jesus' death was not hidden. Everyone knew what happened to him and that he died by crucifixion. Sometimes you got all these crazy people over there that want to say, "Oh no, he did not really die." When the Roman soldier would declare you dead, you were dead. You know, and so they're discussing that, yeah, about, you know, are you the only visitor that does not know what happened there in these days, the things that happen? And then Jesus said, "What things?" And then here's the explanation. Here's their take. I think when we see their dialogue, when we read their conversation between them and Jesus, we can learn about their perspective about the events on Friday and even Sunday morning. What things? Let me read that verse 19 for you again. He said that, then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus said, "What things?" And then he said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." What things? Jesus of Nazareth. And notice how they all believed that he was a prophet. A prophet mighty in word and deed, he says. Now, they're talking to Jesus like they don't even know who the man is. For them, it's a stranger, because they did not recognize it was Jesus yet. The resurrected Jesus is meeting. Can you imagine walking with them and they're explaining to this stranger what happened in Jerusalem? Yeah, Jesus was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. And our chief priests and rulers, they condemned him to death and they crucified him. They killed Jesus. And it's interesting, look at verse 20, 21 gives you the word that I told you last week. Verse 21 gives you their perspective, and it gives you the expectation as well. No, he said, we have hope that he, Jesus, was going to be the one to redeem Israel, to redeem or to restore the kingdom to Israel. We have hope. We had hope. Past tense, like he's gone. You know, I'm telling you about Jesus. Yes, he did that. They crucified him, and we hoped, we had hope that he was going to be the one to restore the kingdom to Israel. And then they kept saying things like, you know, it's interesting. Look at verse 22 through following. Moreover, some women, they said, verse 21, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. I love that because it is now the third day. There are also a lot of people over there that tell you that, you know, that Jesus did not die on a Friday. You know, it's almost like, now, if it's the first day of the week and you count backward, third day, where would that put you? Sunday, Saturday, Friday. So, and it's been, they even said, it's been the third day since the event, since they crucified him. It's been 3 days. And then they continue talking. Verse 22, moreover, some women of our company, some women from our group, you even know the names of some of these women that they're talking about, the Marys that went to the tomb, remember? So now they're telling to the stranger, some women from our company went to the tomb early. Amazed us, they said, they were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. This is the women's testimony right here. And then 24, some of those who were with us, the apostles, went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. Who are those ones that they're talking about? Peter and John had gone to the tomb. And, you know, remember they were running and they found the linen and they didn't know what to, and they came back. Yeah, he's definitely not in the tomb. But they still not listening or just pondering what the women said. The women said angels, there were some angels in there, and they said that he was alive. And now these two disciples on the way to Emmaus, they're relating that information to Jesus. You see how they're passing that along to somebody else based on their testimony. I wish they could have written a book just like the other guys, and we probably have more details about the resurrection. But there it is, they say, yes, and the women, I was there, they amazed us and say that they did not find them. The tomb was empty. It's the empty tomb already. And it's been 3 days, you know, since everything took place, the death, and now, you know, on a Sunday, on the first day of the week, Jesus is missing from the tomb. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, verse 24, but him they did not see. That's the account of those two disciples as they were walking with a stranger, relating the information because they think, well, he got to be a visitor to Jerusalem, that he doesn't really know what happened here. And then now here Jesus is going to start talking to them. And look at what he says in verse, oh, foolish ones. How slow of heart. It's almost like you really have slow understanding to understand what the prophets have said. Let me read that for you. ESV, verse 25. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And I love verse 27, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted, he expounded, he explained more thoroughly to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Was it not necessary that the Messiah would suffer and enter into his glory? That's why he said, foolish ones, almost you are slow learners. That's what Jesus is saying. Wow, like how slow you are to learn. Like, really, I mean, you've been reading the prophets and the Psalms and you still don't get the Messiah. The Messiah needed to go through all that he went through. Slow of heart and slow learning, he said, to understand all that the prophets have said. That's to say, did not the Messiah, wasn't he supposed to suffer and later on enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, that what it means is beginning with the books written by Moses. So in other words, some translation would say beginning with the law and the prophets, he explained to them the scripture concerning himself. He expounded the scripture with them. The law and the prophets all testify to the identity of the Messiah. You wanted to know who the Messiah will be? You read in the law and the prophets, the book of Moses. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses told the people, the Lord himself will give you a prophet like me from among your own people. Messianic prophecies, one after another. Like the prophets would say, they will cast lots for my garments. They will crucify me. They pierced for our transgression. I mean, the prophets, that's the Bible you're reading, and you still don't get it? That happened to Jesus. And Jesus said, how slow you are to understand all the prophets have said. Like, you're not getting it yet. You are slow learners. Jesus explained or interpreted for them the passage concerning himself, concerning the Messiah. Even Psalm 22 starts, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That David's writing. Who said that at the cross? I mean, the law and the prophets. And the prophets, they all testify to who the Messiah will be, the identity of the Messiah, Jesus. So he's taking their Bible and going, it's almost like Jesus just taking these two disciples to a Bible study about, you know, let's find the Messiah through the book of Moses. Let's find the Messiah through the prophets. And so look what happened next. Verse 28, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as if he was going farther, but they urged them strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. Remember, when Jesus resurrected, in his body, he can just go through he did not need to open a door. He would just come in. You know, the resurrected Jesus had that capability. So, and you see, they were kept from recognizing Jesus at the beginning. Now, when he's breaking bread with them, and I can do a sermon just on the whole breaking bread right here, because I'm thinking maybe it was so familiar how Jesus would break bread with the disciples, and it was like, wow, we did not realize it's him. So, all the talk, you know, Jesus got a Bible study with them, but he pretended that he was going somewhere else. I said, hey, you know, it's late, evening is coming on the same day, on Sunday, first day of the week. Stay with us. So he stays. So now we're going to have a meal together after we had a Bible study. We're going to have a meal together. And so Jesus is at the table. He breaks bread. And I cannot help but wonder, maybe Jesus had a peculiar way of breaking bread that the disciples would recognize him. Because it was at that moment that he says their eyes were open. And now they realize, we just ate with Jesus. He is indeed alive. Jesus is alive. Look at what they said. Here's the testimony again. They said, verse 31, and their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them by the breaking of bread. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us and while he opened the scriptures? You see, like, wow, they were enjoying so much whatever Jesus was telling them about Moses and the prophets, and their hearts, it's almost like you're loving the lesson so much that you cannot contain yourself. You want more. Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us and when he opened the scriptures? And you see, even though it was already evening was approaching, they said that very hour, they decided, you know, let's go back and tell the others. Good news, you cannot keep it contained. Good news, if it's really good, you want to share it to everybody. I mean, they went to Emmaus. That's why the destination, when they originally, started the journey, they were going to Emmaus. And because of what happened there, they decided, you know, we got to go back to Jerusalem. It didn't matter how late it was. They went back to Jerusalem and found the 11 apostles, because remember, Judas is already gone. The 11 apostles, and they also had another testimony. So yeah, Jesus is indeed alive. Apparently, Jesus already had appeared to Simon. And now these two disciples are going to relate to the apostles the events and how Jesus, and they said it in that verse 34. 35, then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus was known to them by the breaking of bread. And if you keep on reading the whole, the end of chapter 24, Jesus is going to appear to them again right there with the words, peace be with you. And then he's going to commission them. So the Father sent me, has sent me, I'm sending you. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Amazing. They found Jesus alive. You see, my friends, the resurrection of Jesus truly testifies to his identity as the Messiah. You see, they saw Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they walked with him, they ate with him. So that's their testimony. I mean, how can you say, no, he did not really appear to me? It was just a vision. It was a hallucination, like some people. They experienced the risen Christ, and that changed everything. I wonder if many of them thought, hey, game is back on. He's back. Maybe they're still thinking that he's going to be the political Messiah. And that's exactly what they thought. Because when you read the account in Acts, they still ask Jesus, are you going to do it now? Are you going to do it now? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what they've been waiting for. And you're back. The resurrection of Jesus testified truly that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be all along. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. The anointed one that God sent, by whom you and I can be saved. It was the resurrection of Jesus. I think if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would not be preaching the gospel today. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, you and I would not have any hope. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, death would be the final chapter of our lives. But it ain't. It's not. Because Jesus conquered grave, and now he says that those who believe in him will also conquer. Death will not be the final chapter of our lives, because it's just going to be a transition to live with him forever and ever. Our Savior conquered. Our Savior lives. And you know what else the resurrection did? It transformed coward disciples into brave missionaries. I mean, I don't know about you. The disciples were all hiding. The very same day that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, it wasn't enough to tell them, yeah, he's alive. You know what transformed the disciples? What gave them that courage that they needed? It was they saw Jesus. They saw him. And now they became witnesses. They said, we cannot help telling you what we have seen and heard. And they saw Jesus. They ate fish with Jesus. I mean, these two disciples said, hey, we recognize him when he broke the bread. We were having dinner. So an encounter with the risen Christ changed the whole thing for these disciples. Their attitude changed. This idea of being afraid of the Jews, they were no longer afraid, because when you read the book of Acts, man, Peter getting on those religious and say, you killed Jesus, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. I mean, how dare Peter, you might ask. That's because an encounter with the risen Christ changed the cowardice of the apostles into bravery. And now they're not afraid to testify about Jesus. You see, it's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus' followers have been announcing, has been proclaiming and preaching salvation is only found in Jesus. 2,000 years. Chapter 24 of Luke, Jesus tells them, stay in the city, stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus commissioned them after the resurrection, and the apostles, they did exactly what Jesus told them. And when they got arrested for their faith, they told people, we cannot stop telling you what we have seen and heard. He's alive. I mean, later on, many years later, there's another man named Paul, another encounter with the risen Christ. And his life changed from being a persecutor to a missionary, the greatest missionary that the church ever had, the Apostle Paul, because he had an encounter with the risen Christ. On the road to Damascus, Jesus said, why are you persecuting me, Paul? Persecuting one of my people is persecuting me. He said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Go into the city, and I'm going to tell you what you must do. And the whole life of the Apostle Paul changed. And then when he was questioned, he would say the same thing.
I was a different man, but because Jesus is alive, you know, and because of the resurrection, we have hope. I can, you can arrest me, you can put me in chains, but I cannot stop telling you what he has done for me. 2,000 years after the resurrection, and Jesus Christ still continues to intimidate some people, some religious nuts out there, and Jesus Christ still continues to transform lives because he is the Messiah. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I love in Acts 4, Peter, talking to the religious leaders, by the way, it's interesting because the religious leaders see, they saw Peter and they say, oh, he's just an ordinary man. He gets up with John and he said, this Jesus, verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, he said, this Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You builders, you were supposed to have the cornerstone, and it was Jesus. You rejected it. He is the cornerstone. And salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. Salvation is only found in Jesus. After 2,000 years, they're still proclaiming, and we're still doing the same thing today, proclaiming to people what Jesus Christ has done, and he continues to do in our lives. That he's the Savior, he can transform your life. He can change the situation. And even when he doesn't change the situation, he will change your perspective to look at the situation through his eyes. We, followers of Jesus, 2,000 years later, in 2021, in the 21st century, we must continue to announce that Jesus is Lord, and that only through him people can be saved. The resurrection brings you and I hope. There are so many hopeless people out there. They don't have any hope, and they need somebody that can bring that hope to them. They need somebody to say, I came to rescue you, to save you, if you only let me do that. That's what Jesus can do for them. But you, like the apostles, you see those two men, the news was so great, they said, you know, we cannot stay here. They went to Jerusalem late at night just to tell the apostles, it is true, Jesus is indeed alive. He is alive. And you and I, we're celebrating that today. And it's interesting, we celebrate that every time we gather, because, you know, our Savior, we're not singing to a dead God. My God's not dead, he's truly alive. Newsboys. And he's roaring like a lion. You know, and it's, our Savior, you know, is alive. And that's what we give him honor and glory and worship him, because the one you believe in, the one that makes all the difference in our lives, is indeed alive. And may his name always be glorified. And may you and I continue to be his disciples as we continue to live our lives, that we are not ashamed to testify to who he is, to what he has done in our lives. Never be ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, because this is the power of God for the salvation to anybody who believes, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Because in the gospel of Christ, a righteousness of God is revealed through faith and by faith through Jesus. Man, you and I are redeemed, condemned. God looks to you with favor, all because our Savior conquered death 2,000 years ago today. Would you pray with me this morning?
Praise God.
Amen.